This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by All-Star Vacation Homes. And boy, do I love me an All-Star Vacation Home. So much space, so many great amenities, not sleeping in the same room as my kid. Man, I love that. And of course, my own private pool, movie rooms, game rooms, occasionally Mike Newell. Boy, it doesn't get better than an All-Star Vacation Home. Check them out right now, actually. Go to their website. Go check out all these great homes they have very, very close to Walt Disney World. And for a great price, check them out right now at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Friday, December 12th, 2014, and this is episode 1434 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudiosCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. It's a full house today, and we'll start things off with Len Testa, co-author of The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World and host of the Disney Dish with Jim Hill podcast. Welcome to the show, Len.
How's it going, Matt?
Outstanding. Also joining us on today's show, Mike Scopa, blogger for TouringBlends.com and co-host of the Mickey Miles podcast. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Give me your tired, your poor, your homeless masses yearning to breathe free.
American Adventure.
Nope.
The Hall of Presidents.
Nope.
Wait, I know it. The dudes who sing at American Adventure.
Nope.
Muppets.
Yeah, I was about to say Muppet Vision 3D.
Nope, and it's not Splashtacular.
I was going to say Splashtacular.
It's not, I mean, it's from the Statue of Liberty. I mean, where would it be from?
They don't say homeless masses on the Statue of Liberty, though.
Huddled masses.
Oh, huddled masses.
Oh.
He said homeless masses.
Wait, just go, but it's just
gotcha. Homeless masses.
I drove a flag on the play.
All right, then I'll start all over again. Give me your tired. And that's it.
Reunion.
Nope.
Yeah, really, jeez. I don't know.
I don't know. What's
are hard? We stumped? We are stumped. It is from America the Beautiful, the original Circle Vision 360 movie that was in the Magic Kingdom back in the 70s.
Wow. Okay. Joining us on also on today's show, Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Come on, Mike.
Man, as much as I would like it, I am not an amenity at All Star Vacation Homes.
Sometimes, not all the time.
Sometimes, but don't book it. Think you're getting me there too.
For the right home and the right price.
Well,
yes. Whoa.
For certain people, whoa, maybe, but not certain people. Not for everyone.
You have the Mike Newell suite tonight,
and it comes with Mike Newell. So.
Also joining us on today's show, the fabulous Annette Owens, a manager at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Welcome to the show, Annette.
Hey, I don't even know what to say after all that. Just, hey.
Hey.
And also joining us on today's show, also our good friend Becky Mankin of MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Welcome to the show, Becky.
Thank you, Matt. Great to be back. 1434. I got a lot of catching up to do, don't I?
Yeah, quite a bit has changed this episode. Live. But yeah, we're doing well. Yeah.
I told you she doesn't listen.
Since episode 5, is that what you said?
Of course I.
Oh, okay.
Wow. You give me some credit. Maybe up to. I was around for 1,000, I think. So, you know.
She's up to the one where we talk about Nakusis and stuff like that.
Yeah, that probably was episode 85.
On today's show, we are recapping our Reunion 2014 fun. As many of you know, we just had our annual event Reunion in Walt Disney World, wrapped it up last week, and we had such a great time. We wanted to share some stories and feedback because, of course, we all get back, and we've all got each our own little story to tell, and, of course, it helps, you know, kind of convey what Reunion really is to everybody. And, Becky, you know, this was a big year, lots of great events, but I think, you know, overall, really, it was another great year to be able to see. We saw friends we've known for a couple of years now, and also we met a lot of new people.
It was really great this year because there was a lot of new faces, and I think more so than we've had in previous years. And some people, once again, the whole thing about Reunion is getting together and seeing people face to face that listen to your show and that book with us. And when you're spread all over the country, you don't get that opportunity to meet face to face, talk, hang out. And it really was fun to meet a whole bunch of new people and see faces we haven't seen for a while.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the big parts, obviously, for Reunion in addition to just meeting people are the events. And Len, we had a lot of great events this year. And kudos to Len, by the way, because Len and Laurel Stewart were fundamental in not only coming up with meat ideas, but also kind of constructing them in terms of what they actually would become. And Len, you had some really great ones this year. And I think we were talking a little bit about it offline, about which events, you know, really stuck out in your mind as real winners here. You know, one that really I liked a lot, Len, on the Magic Kingdom Day was the best jungle cruise ever event, which was basically where we all had, each of us got a shtick. I thought it was going to be one basic shtick. We were all going to be just laughing at every joke, but no, yeah. You took it one step further.
So the idea of the reunion events in general, and I'm not talking about just the Jungle Cruise thing, but the idea is that we do something more than just ride the rides, mm-hmm. right? So I think a few years ago, we actually started doing these scripted or themed events where we either wrote our own script for the rides, like remember we did with Carousel of Progress, and this year we did with Spaceship Earth last year with Maelstrom this year, or we did some sort of thing where you ride, but there's a slight twist on doing the ride, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And the reason for that is, I mean, you know, people pay a lot of money, you know, to come down to Reunion, although they got some fantastic rates on hotels, but we'll talk about that. But you know, everyone's taking time out of their year to come down and hang out with us, and it's, you know, we go to the extra mile. So for this year, for Jungle Cruise, which is a new event for us, first time we'd ever done Jungle Cruise, we decided that we would do different themes for each of the rides. So there were, I think, six or seven of us. Each of us were going to go on a different boat, along with 25 people from a reunion. And we would act out, like almost like performance art, something on the boat. So one of them, for example, was Best Crew Ever. And the idea was that we would laugh hysterically at every single joke, essentially making it like the funniest Jungle Cruise ever. Another idea was that you didn't speak any English, but we used finger puppets that we gave out during the Tiki Room meet. And the idea was that the finger puppet, they were birds, bird-shaped finger puppets, would translate for you what the skipper said, and then you would laugh. We did one where you were the New York, supposedly on a New York subway. We potentially sang "Row, row, row your boat" the entire time, stuff like that. That was the idea. So everybody would do different ones, and at the end of it, the purpose of doing different things is we wanted to see what would work best for next year, right? So some of these ideas worked good, some of them don't, right? Work as well as the other ones, but the idea would be that we would find something that worked for everyone. So that was, I think that worked. That event worked really well. The thing we did was Best Crew Ever. But I think Annette has the story here. Let me set up Annette's story.
Oh, boy.
So we show up.
I thought we were just skipping my story. No, that was going to be okay.
No. Your story is the story.
Not so fast, my friend.
So we're before we get in line, we go up to the ride manager and we say, look, we've got, you know, 200 people that are going to ride. And the manager, who we will not name, said, you know, it was really great. We had a few people in wheelchairs. He showed us how to coordinate getting everybody in the standby line and everybody in wheelchairs going through the fast pass line. So we, as much as possible, got our boats entirely to ourselves. Because, you know, if you're going to laugh at every joke or you're going to bring on finger puppets or you're going to sing Row, Row Your Boat, we're trying not to impact other guests as much as possible, right? We want to keep this all to ourselves and see what works, right? The funny thing was that the manager helped us load the cast member helped us load the boats. At the last minute, decided that he wanted to be part of our little group, and he jumps on Annette's boat to skipper it.
Bad mistake.
This is the manager that did this?
This is yes. This is the, helped us load all.
Oh,
that.
That's
He was the attraction manager for the day. So it was. My boat did Best Crew Ever, and we had Hannah, and she was fantastic.
Hannah! I was on that boat, too.
So we laughed at everything, and she realized after, like, one or two laughs that we were going to laugh at anything. And then she really got into it, because she would pause, let us laugh, and, you know, sort of do dramatic arm movements and stuff like that with it. And we got to the end of the ride, where she says, you know, if you enjoyed this Jungle Cruise, my name was Hannah. And then we just chanted Hannah, 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 Hannah until we got off the boat. It was fantastic. But apparently, Annette's boat, as it was pulling away from the dock to begin, the skipper started to spiel, and someone from the back of the boat said, "That's what she said." And
that's not when it started.
I've seen the video of it. There's like 10 seconds of video, and the skipper says something like, "Oh, that's how you want to play it," and that's when the video stops.
Well, that's not exactly how it played out, but yeah.
Go ahead. You tell the story.
Well, in line, I pulled my group together because nothing's better than a team that is working together.
Right.
So standing in queue, I pulled everybody together and said the title of what we were supposed to do, because you gave us titles and then descriptions.
Yeah.
The title was, "That's What I Said." And we were supposed to repeat the punchline of every joke.
Yeah.
So we get on, and I told them, I said, "We're going to start that way, and then I'm going to change it on you. When I change, everybody change with me, because we're going to change it from 'That's what I said' to 'That's what she said.'"
Let me just say, I love Evil Annette.
You all found out pretty quick. We went through and we started repeating the punchline, and after about three or four jokes, he says, "Oh, so you're going to repeat every punchline." And that's when I led the boat to say, "That's what she said." So just when he thought he had us figured out, we changed it. But then we had a lot of fun on that boat. We did get kicked off at the end. I think there's a good video of him telling us to get off the boat.
So
and not so many words.
From what the people getting off the boat were, some of them were actually crying. They were laughing so hard.
That was me. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But no, multiple people. But the funniest thing was, some people in there from a reunion. One girl, she was like 25. She had gone out with her parents had brought her to a reunion. It was all of their first times. But it was also her first time on the Jungle Cruise ever. And she was crying. She was laughing so hard. And the funny thing was, her parents came up to me afterwards because I was watching everybody get off the boat. And they're like, "She could never go on the Jungle Cruise again because it will never be as good as it was this one time." Apparently it was that funny that the skipper and the group did everything that it was. But everyone that, like, our best crew ever did it, every boat that I talked to, everyone said it was the best Jungle Cruise experience they ever had. Even the skippers afterwards were like, "This was fantastic." I talked to some skippers who had, you know, got off and switched off rotation. They're like, it's never, "This is the highlight of our day. It's never going to get better than this."
Which was great.
I mean, that's what we look for in events. I mean, that was a successful event. Everyone had fun. We've completely ruined it for a bunch of people. But, you know, the funny thing was, somebody sent me later that night, and we'll talk more about the rest of the Magic Kingdom stuff. But somebody sent me later that night a message board post that somebody who got the last boat. Somebody mixed it. I guess we mixed in civilians. Okay,
That was on mine.
Yeah, and I actually knew who the person was. This is kind of funny. So this person posted a note on a discussion board that said, "We were on the strangest Jungle Cruise where people had finger puppets and they were talking to the guests. And it was bizarre and it was kind of strange because they laughed at every joke. It really sort of changed the experience." So I wrote back to this person who I actually knew through a friend of Mike, And I'm like, "Hey, that was us. You know, very sorry. This is what we're doing." And she wrote back and she said, "Oh, we thought it was hysterical. It was just, it got tired after a while because we weren't in on the joke. But it was kind of funny." And so I explained to her what it was, and she thought it was hysterical, just the idea that we would do that. So that was good. So, yeah, so that, I think Jungle Cruise was one of the highlights of Thursday.
Yeah.
I
got a quick Mike Scopa story. One of the last meets we were doing in the Magic Kingdom was the Shutdown Seven Dwarves Mine Train meet, which was we were getting on at 6 o'clock. The park closed at 7 o'clock because it was a party night. So we get on there. I got there about 15, 20 minutes early, and the ride was actually closed. They were doing a lot of – there was something wrong with it. They were exiting people. So I was texting all you guys like, "Oh, gosh, you know, it's not open. Maybe this is actually a blessing in disguise," because I was anticipating we were going to have to wait, like, you know, over an hour in line. And if it was closed, we'd have no choice not to wait in line. I'd be able to get dinner. And we're waiting in line. We're waiting in. Right around 6 o'clock, they reopened the ride. But the cast member – immediately the wait time was at 80 minutes, and the cast member, Mike, is like one of the first people in line. He tells Scopa it's 80. I think you asked Mike, "Well, how long?" And he said 80 minutes.
Yeah.
And I see Mike bailing out of line. I'm like, "Where are you going?"
I'm not waiting 80 minutes for any attraction.
Yeah, let how long did
we
wait?
Didn't either.
31.
Yeah, 30 minutes. I mean, we were. Got it would have taken actually less time if we hadn't all stopped to play with the interactive little games there.
And the reason why we did that is we had handed out bingo cards at the very beginning of the event of reunion. So yep. When everyone picked up their packets, and the bingo squares were for things like attending events or playing. Like one of the extra squares was play an interactive game at Seven Dwarfs Mine Train with Len. So you got to check off a bingo square if you did that. So that's why it took a little longer. But the funniest thing was, and I didn't tell Matt this ahead of time. Everybody had multiple squares that said get Matt to buy you a drink at whatever theme park we were in, because the idea was that 200 people would ask Matt every day and sometimes several times a day to buy him a drink, which I thought was just hysterical when I wrote it. I don't think Matt thought of it.
It was great, Len. Thanks a lot.
I
appreciate it.
Thank you.
But I have to say, it was really hard to drink my Diet Coke every time I got one. Thanks, Len.
That's right. Take a picture of a nut with a net with a Diet Coke. Take a picture with Becky not wearing black or red, right?
Did that happen?
Yes.
It's last day, man. Last day.
Yes. Only at the ESPN.
One that didn't, I don't know, Scopa. One of the squares was drink a Beverly with Mike Scopa. Did anyone do
actually,
that with
you? Well, there was a small boy. His name was Matt. I think his name was Matthew or Maddie. And
Matthew. Did he do it with you?
He asked me in line, and we somehow got separated after Spaceship Earth. I think I was someone grabbed me after Spaceship Earth and wanted to talk to me. So I lost Maddie, but he would have been probably the only one.
Oh, man. Because you guys were real close right then. Yeah,
although anyway. I did get two challenges, though. I also got two challenges, but I said no.
Yeah, there's nothing to prove. Once you've won it.
So we had
bingo cards throughout the different things for our studios days. We had a lot of fun. Anyway, so that was it. That was the end of Thursday. We went to Tambu Lounge because we were all staying at the Poly. By the way, Becky, thank you for the fantastic rates at the Polynesian. That was incredible.
Well, I think that was a tag team effort. Annette has a lot to do with that one, and our partners at Disney, of course.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So we originally booked at Coronado Springs. Yeah,
yeah.
We somehow ended up through the magic of MEMS Fan Travel at Club Level at the Polynesian. I am not complaining at all. Even with the construction, it was beautiful.
Well, it was better than what it would have been at Coronado with no hot water.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
I'll take construction any day over, not having hot water.
That's kind of important.
And the concierge level, I wasn't going to complain about that personally. I don't know about you guys.
And we all had rooms right in a row. That was also nice.
Yeah. That was very cool.
Yeah.
When we got to Friday, we saw, now last year, those who may recall, that we did the Mulch Sweat and Shears meet, and that starred one, and they pulled in one Len Testa on stage to perform, and I thought they were going to do the exact same thing this year, because they went to you almost immediately, Len, about the bringing back the 80s, and I was like, oh boy, here we go again. But then a little curveball came our way.
Yeah, so this is kind of funny, because I had actually I'd actually talked to them ahead of time. The Mulch came out, and Mulch is a great band. They're a great cover band. I have a sort of a side story on just exactly how talented they are, but they came out. Came up to me and said, "We're going to start with the '80s," and it was kind of funny because as soon as they started tuning up, I recognized the key that they were in, and I turned to Laurel and I said, "They're going to do Jump."
Nerd.
I did the same thing. Oh, I was all over that. Yeah.
It's actually the opening note to 1984, which is the prelude to Jump. Yeah. But they did that, and then they picked
Jingle Joe
Jump, and then they. They switched into You Really Got Me, but it was a Christmas version of You Really Got Me, like Christmas Presents, which was kind of neat. And then they brought Jingle Jim, Mike Newell, up to do a jingle thing.
Jingle Joe. I'm Joe.
Jingle Joe.
Jingle Joe. Joe. Jingle Joe.
JJ.
Yeah.
We call him JJ.
JJ.
JJ. But yeah. here's the funny thing. So one of the, if you didn't go to a reunion, one of the things that we do every year, just sort of like the Jungle Cruise idea, we're supposed to be the best crowd that Mulch has ever seen. So it starts off by screaming for the first 2 minutes. And we had a couple hundred people there, which is a lot. The funny thing, though, is that the screaming draws other people in to see what's going on. So the combination of the Mulch music and us, just going crazy like it's, the return of Jimi Hendrix from the dead is is just draws people. We had filled, so if you imagine if you're on the streets of America, by the writer's stop, so by the big facade for the San Francisco streets, we had filled up Streets of America more than halfway down the block, and then on both sides, one side going to Star Tours and the other side going to writer's stop and sci-fi, we had filled that with people to the point where the security guards were actually laughing at how crazy we were and taking out their phones and filming us.
Yes, that was so funny.
Yeah, it was great. So I'm just, a ton of people. And, you know, it was just a great crowd, a great energy. And we had attracted, like, I think we had two large Brazilian groups behind us trying to figure out what was going on. But it was...
Either that or we had blocked the street so they couldn't get through. Not sure.
We were louder than them.
What I really liked about that one was when they came out onto the street, remember, it had been raining earlier that day. And it was possible that they were going to say no, they couldn't come out and play. And the crew, after the band came out and the entire crowd was just screaming, I could hear the crew go, "Oh, looks like it was a really good idea that I'm glad we decided to come out anyway."
It was like 5 minutes before it was sprinkling and said they wouldn't do it. But so we screamed through the whole thing. I mean, just there's people everywhere. There's people dancing. Newell's up on stage with everyone. It's fantastic, and they actually stayed one song longer than they should have, and because the crowd actually took them a little while to get back. Disney eventually makes them leave,
right,
to like get the next set of entertainment. But afterwards, I got a really nice tweet from a member of the band, and he said, "Look, there are 3 days a year in which we feel like we're rock stars. It's 4th of July, New Year's Eve, and whenever you guys show up for a king." He was dead serious about it, which is really nice because that's what we're going for, right? And the cast members work hard all year. We all had a great time, you know, screaming, fists were pumping. I mean, it was like a regular rock show. Yeah. Everyone enjoyed it. No one had a bad time. And that's really what Reunion is all about.
It was all Chip, though, that they got the crowd going.
Yeah, Chip got the crowd going.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
sure time. Did.
That's right, yeah. So that was a lot of fun. And that was like right around 2 o'clock. That lasted till about 2:30. We were going to do Streetmosphere at 3, but then that got canceled because it was actually it actually started to rain at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Noel, how was it being called up there? Because I know you didn't know it was coming up.
No.
And you know, you're not exactly one for public attention. But
well, what happened was I actually maneuvered myself to get a good spot because I wanted to tape Len. I was going to have a great view.
See, once you got picked, I started backing up about 8 people. I was like, I got to go.
I thought they were picking me to play. So I was like, oh, here we go. Because I play the drums. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun.
It seems like it's a lot longer when you're up there. This is like, this song's going on forever.
The hard part is, I don't know if you experienced this, Len, but I couldn't hear what he was saying because...
Yeah, the speakers are...
You'd have to be wired for monitors in order to hear. So I had a hard time understanding him. So he dropped to the ground at one point. And I don't know what he was doing. I couldn't hear what he was saying. So I was like, okay, hope he's not...
Because the speakers are to your side. They're not,
to prevent feedback. So normally you would wear a monitor, earpiece, or you'd have stage monitors. But I didn't have that, so I couldn't hear what was going on. And the crowd was just so loud. So you have all these people facing you screaming.
Yeah, screaming.
Right. So, you know, you drown out what's really – I couldn't hear the bells. It was just, you know, it was a lot of fun.
You were grinning ear to ear the entire time. Like, it was great watching you.
Well, I mean, I've always loved playing in front of a crowd. So that I never had a problem with. I'm never shy about being on stage.
You were a natural with the jingle bells.
Yeah. I even got a pair of drumsticks. They gave me a pair of drumsticks.
Yeah, that was cool.
Drumsticks.
Yeah.
The funny thing was I saw them. So we were getting in line. I don't want to get ahead of the story, but we were about to get in line for the 7:45 private event, which we'll talk about. But Mulch had just started a show like at 7:30. And I was walking by and I saw them and Jim looked at me like, dude, stay for the show. And so I did. And I think a few of you guys stayed too until like the very last minute. But towards the end of the set, he came over, and while one of the other guys was singing, he's like, you know, like, I really appreciate you, you know, bringing your group over to the to us, and it was really nice of you. And so I said, you know, you guys put on a good show and everything.
That's awesome.
It was funny because the show that they did smack dab in the middle of the park, right by the Big Hat, prime time, like, you know, 7:30, right before Fantasmic and everything, they had maybe like 100 people. You know, and we had like, we probably had 500, 600. it was kind of funny. And so we were in the far end of the park. They were right in the middle of the park, and because I guess maybe people were eating or whatever, or they were off somewhere else in the parks. The crowd wasn't nearly as large as what we had, which goes to show you what an enthusiastic small group of people can do, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
The other really fun event, and boy, if you blinked, you missed it. Was the cupcake meet at Starring Rolls?
Oh, no doubt, that was epic.
It lasted 8 minutes. So this is a new one, again, a new event, and again, it was scripted. And the idea was that because we're in the studios, that we would pay homage to famous scenes from movies and stage, and we would do so using cupcakes as props, right? So this is sort of the twist. And the six of us could have all eaten cupcakes, but we thought it would be more fun if we got our listeners to actually eat the cupcakes. So a few days in advance, Laurel and I had come up with what we thought would be sort of iconic scenes from different movies that people would know. But where possible, we would substitute cupcakes in as props through the scene. So for example, one of the scenes that we got was from the stage, was from Hamlet, where he's talking, he's in the graveyard scene, and he's talking about, he's got the skull, and he's talking about Yorick. But instead of saying, alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well, it was, alas, poor Butterfinger, and we had a Butterfinger cupcake. Yeah. I knew him well, Horatio, a fellow of infinite peanuts of most excellent fancy chocolate. He hath nourished me 1,000 times. Anyway, so we had people do this, and the funny thing was we didn't tell them. We asked for volunteers like 2 minutes before we did this thing, and we gave people handwritten scripts and asked them to sort of sell the parts. And I think everyone, I think Jack did actually the Hamlet one. All of them did excellent jobs on it. We had Jack was Hamlet. We had Suzanne was Gone with the Wind, Scarlett O'Hara. And she did the scene where Scarlett says she's supposedly holding a turnip or a yam or something and saying, as God is my witness, I'll never go hungry again. But we gave her a red velvet cupcake. and then I would say
everyone was really good. I mean, one of the kids was doing with his mom, I think, the Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker scene Empire Strikes Back. You know, when Vader tells Luke that he's his father. Yeah. I think the best was the last guy, Matt, who did.
He did the scene from A Few Good Men, and we had adapted. So it was the Jack Nicholson scene where he's on the stand and he says, "You can't handle the truth." But we had actually adapted it. So instead of Jack Nicholson talking about national security and defense, he was talking about cupcakes. So where Nicholson, I think, in the script says something like, we use words like duty, honor, and courage. It was like when Jack had said, we use words like sugar and fat and gluten.
And they didn't laugh. He didn't laugh. He made it all the way through it.
And you know what the funny thing was? And this is good direction on my part. I sort of had a feel that he was going to do really well. So I left him for last. Not that anyone was going to do bad, but sort of he had the voice for it. He had the intensity that I thought, he could really nail it if he did it right. And he did. So at the end, it's like, you want the cupcake? You can't handle the cupcake. And then he eats the cupcake. It was just perfect. Just did and so well. Could not have done better.
Big props to Stephanie Miller and Alex on the MEI team, too. They stepped right up and got in there. And I was so proud of them. It was great. That was a great meet.
Alex was in one of the – what did he do in the
– Godfather? No.
Was he in the
No, Joe did the Godfather.
Joe Carter did the Godfather,
which was really good. Yeah, no, what Alex was in one of them. I forgot which, but yeah, you're right. They did. Everyone did a really good job. That's just hard to deny that.
I'm thinking of what Alex did right now.
He was in one of them. I just don't remember which one he was in. He's probably yelling at his iPod.
Airplane.
Yes, oh, Airplane.
Right. Airplane.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to stop eating cupcakes. He had to do three different roles in that scene. and one of the roles was actually a Siamese twin. I don't know if you guys got that, but he was switching his head back and forth. Kind of funny. So that was Joe Pardo does the scene where or Don Corleone and it's supposedly Frank Sinatra, but whatever the guy's name is, where at the end,
Johnny Fontaine.
Thank you. Where Johnny Fontaine is trying to get a part in a movie, and Don Corleone eventually says, I'll make him an offer he can't refuse. At the end of our scene, he says, I'll make him a cupcake he can't refuse. but it was hysterical. It only lasted 8 minutes. But the funny thing about that was, too, we had a crowd, and it attracted more people, including a little bit of Disney security trying to figure out what we were doing. But that was great. I really liked that event, and I think we could do a twist on that again. I think that's and while we're mentioning that, we really should come up with like a list and publish it on the web of like, you know, if you're going to bring a group to Disney and you want to do something different, here's some ideas we've tried that have worked.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Anyway.
And we had, of course, later that night, we had the Osborne Lights event, which was the MEI client appreciation event that Becky has been throwing on for many, many years now. And Becky, what I really liked about this year is, let's say this. I mean, everyone knows we're going to the Osborne Lights. Most people who have been in the event and many come purely to reunion for this event, I'll be honest. But they know that we're going to ride something, and they probably have a good idea of what we're going to ride. But let me tell you something. If I had to bet money on things that were going to make a really big impact, it would not have been the surprise you did for the waiting. Because when we rode Toy Story Midway Mania, and then there's a lot of time we have to wait because we have to wait for Disney to clear out all the guests on Streets of America.
And the standby guests that were still in the queue, right?
Yeah. And so Becky warned us that we were going to be standing on Pixar Place for a while, and we should go – the six of us should go, you know, mingle as much as we can so that, you know, people don't feel like, you know, we're just standing around being bored. So that's what I was counting on. But what I wasn't counting on was that you brought in a little surprise there, the Sarge from Green Army Man to – I thought honestly he was just like going from point A to point B and ran across us. But he did a whole – he did not only a set. He did like his entire shtick.
Dude, he worked for like an hour. Yeah. Man, that was awesome.
He was amazing.
That was the highlight of that night. Yeah,
he was completely amazing, and it's a difficult call. And Annette and I work on this really hard every year to plus it up somehow, because, like you said, there's a ride in there. We know we're going to Osborne, so we got to find something that's going to be a little bit of magic, a little magical surprise. And to have Sarge out there waiting, as of course the reason why we have to wait in that area is we have to wait for the lights to clear, and they have to shut it down, and they have to get everything prepped for us. So there's a little bit, if you're the first few people on Toy Story Mania, there's going to be a little bit of a ride or a wait. And of course, Sarge went to town on several of our guests and on a few of you, from what I understand.
Yeah. Scope ended up having to do sit-ups. That was great.
That was awesome.
I was going to say.
43,000.
Wow. I knew that you were there for a while. I wasn't sure exactly how long.
But that was – I mean, that dude, he had to have gone on for 45 minutes straight. And just solo entertainment by himself, not with a cast, not with music. It was just what he could come up with in his head for 45 minutes.
Yeah, he did a great job. And
that was amazing.
Nonstop.
It was so entertaining. So many – there were people who were walking through, of course, going to exit the park. And they would stop and start to be part of the group. And, of course, the Disney people were kind of going, nope, this is a private group. I'm sorry. But that's how good the show was. It was attracting all kinds of guests from inside the park.
My favorite was one of our people that were there, Nora, who's come many, many years. And he asked Nora – who your favorite podcaster was, and she said me, which was very nice. I'm very flattered, but that meant I got called out into the thing.
Of course, I thanked her.
I told Nora after. I said, Nora, I really appreciate you thinking that I'm your favorite, but if I'm really your favorite, you would have picked someone else.
I thanked her for that. I said, thank you for not being your favorite. That's right.
You did a pretty darn good job there, Matt, answering the questions, though, to keep yourself from doing sit-ups and jogging.
It was pure luck that I picked that late, because he had like 3 minutes left in his set, and I just ran out of time. Thank God.
You know what the funny thing was, one of the guys we met, Mike from Idaho,
Big D,
gets picked.
Gets oh my God!
By Sarge to do like push-ups or something. And you know, I'm back there, I'm way back in the crowd, and I'm thinking to myself, this is Mike's first reunion. He's got to be thinking at this point, what the hell have I gotten myself into? But afterwards, he thought it was the funniest thing. Afterward, we laughed for like 10 minutes about it. We got together and I'm like, hey Mike, how's it going? How you feel?
Can the I rest say of the reunion? The rest of the reunion, he was Big D.
Big D.
We changed his name.
I met him at Dole Whip. He's very forthcoming, so he came up to people and was interested.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was great to meet him. Yeah, Mike was one of the highlights of the
He was into it from Dole Whip on. He was so excited about being there from Dole Whip on. It was really fun to watch him.
My favorite was...
You know who...
Oh, go ahead, Becky.
I was going to say, you know who else was very into it, which is great? All of the new people that have never been to reunion before, the Bowser family.
No,
the Bowser family, Suzanne Doug and Corinne and her husband. Corinne was the person who won our drawing from the first day to turn on the lights at reunion at Osborne Lights.
Oh, yeah.
And she had not only never been to reunion, they hadn't been there without their kids before. So that's what it was a family trip without their kids, which made them turn into 8-year-olds right along with us. And she had never been, she'd never seen the Osborne Lights either. So that was
so funny when she flipped the switch and had no idea what that was for.
For the first 2 minutes, I just watched her face just to see it light up. I mean, I had seen the Osborne Lights many times, but when you get to see someone up close who's never experienced it before, it's just amazing, the look in their eyes and everything. It's just, you can't buy that.
Especially her husband, Brian, was into everything also, just like Big D. There's certain people brand new and totally into it all the time. It was great.
And what both of them have in common, both Big D and the Bowser families, they both said to me at one point or another, what you really got to do to get the most out of reunion is just jump in.
Yep.
Jump in and get involved and put a finger puppet on your finger and go for it. And then you end up having the time that they had and the time that we had.
Yeah, it was great. It was
the more you're into it, the more fun it is,
So one of the other big events going into, of course, Epcot Day, this one – the Maelstrom in a minute.
Oh, my goodness.
A minute.
How many minutes? 52 minutes. Maelstrom in 52 minutes was set up.
Actually longer than the ride.
The entire thing was five, but it's a Maelstrom in 5 minutes. Just isn't as catchy. But so we're the Wednesday before the Saturday show. Saturday we did it. The Wednesday before we do a script read through, and you could see the panic in Becky's face. Like, because we pull out the script and I'm describing these props, and I had brought a car full of props. Everything from Laurel had sewn a replica boat out of 10 yards, 30 feet of fabric with actual intricate scroll work on the sides and everything. And we had bought Viking helmets and torches and Norwegian flags and fishing nets and spray helicopters.
Bottles. Yeah, you see why? You see why I was panicking?
And I'd painted six individual background scenes on poster board.
Well, the best was the painter's tape.
So I brought painter's tape to actually simulate the ride track layout. We had troll wigs. We had literally hundreds of props. And so we're walking through the script and what was going to happen and the actions involved. And you could see like literally 2 minutes into the explanation, Becky was like, they're never going to let you do this in Epcot. We'd originally – and I looked at Google Maps to figure out that we could do it between Norway and China. There's an alley right there. And as it turns out, Becky was like, yeah, we'll ask Disney, but I don't think they're going to let you do it. And thankfully, Becky actually convinced Disney to let us have an alternate location for it, which was?
Yeah. The Wonders of Life Pavilion.
So they gave us Wonders of Life. Yeah. So instead of completely screwing up the public space, they gave us the Wonders of Life for like 2 hours. I mean, they gave it to us I think we went there, 10:30 or 11?
Okay, let's set the scene for a moment for everybody. As we're sitting there through the read, it's not your little script. This is what? It was like an eight-page script?
It was an eight-page script that required, in the end, it required, there were about 200 people in the room. We had, at the very end of it, only 12 of the 200 people did not actually participate in something. So it was a script for about 188 people.
Right. So here I am sitting there imagining, oh, Becky, it's going to be fine. It's going to be right in the middle of the park. It's going to be, and all I'm seeing are security badges and security guards. In the back of my head was, what I want to do is film Len coming in the front gates with all of these props. That's what I want to do. I want to see.
To carry them, yeah.
If you could have gotten through the front gates, but thankfully it all worked beautifully. And your Maelstrom in a minute or five or 52, whatever it took from conception to putting it together. You were so excited. That's the one thing.
A lot of people
didn't get to see the back's end of that, but you were laying the track and putting exactly where the trolls, Wigs had
beads. I had a diagram. I had graph paper, man, for wherever.
Yeah, but how about the Disney guide who was correcting it? That was awesome.
This is great. So we get this Disney guide, Diane. They give us like one person. Plus we had Elizabeth, our event coordinator. But Diane, who had never met us before, or at least never met me before, I had no idea what she was getting into. But I told her, you know, I talked to her as we were doing this. I'm like, look, Diane, you're going to be part of our show. And what I need you to do is I need you to authenticate to the crowd that every single thing in the show is exactly the way it was in Maelstrom. And she's like, yeah, but it's not. I'm like, yeah, I know, but that's what's funny about it. So she got it after that, right? So the funniest thing is we're walking through it without any guests in there. And I had set down these green pom-poms, which were supposed to be the forest scene. And she kicks one of them over. She's like, you know, in the ride, it was really over there. And I was like, Diane, that is the funniest thing you could possibly say. Just go like that. Do that. You got it, right? So we get in, right? So we get everybody in. And at this point, I've got like green, blue painter's tape all over the floor. We've got all these props everywhere. We've got spray bottles. There's literally like 200 people standing around, plus the post-show film actors, which are often like the far end of Wonders of Life. And so I get Diane, I'm like, okay, you know, I'm announcing the crowd, you know, and Diane here, as an official representative of the Walt Disney Corporation, has certified to all of you that this is exactly the way the ride was before it was demolished. That this is, you know, this is everything in this simulation or in this recreation is exactly the way it was, down to the smallest detail. And Diane's like, yep, it is. Okay. Oh, that was so funny. So funny. But then, yeah, I have to give a shout out here to Sarah Wallert of the Wallert family. She was our Norwegian ski jumper, and I think you guys should go onto YouTube and look for Maelstrom in a Minute video. Sarah was our ski jumper, and I had promised Sarah before reunion started that I would get her an official replica Norwegian ski jumper outfit,
and that was authentic. Yes.
Yeah, so, and by authentic, I mean I could find it at Target the week before the there were a couple of compromises. Instead of an actual ski jumping, you know, a tight ski jumping outfit, I ended up with adult-sized footy pajamas with clouds printed on them. Instead of a helmet, I had a sort of a llama-based woolen hat with floppy ears, and then some industrial eye protection instead of actual ski goggles. But Sarah like puts this on. She's like, okay, yeah, I totally got it. And she comes out. You have to see what she did, though, because I gave her like one quick run through of what I wanted the ski jumper to do. And if you guys remember the scene in the film, the post-show film, the ski jumper takes a deep breath, sort of slides his feet back and forth, then like takes off in a crouch, and then jumps off this ski lift. And obviously we didn't have a ski lift, but I told Sarah, you know, you've pretty much got to mimic the actions. So she does it. And it's the funniest scene in the entire thing to watch her do it, because everyone understood from her actions what she was doing, and they recognized that was exactly how it went down in the film. She kind of crouched down, ran halfway across the stage, then made the whoosh sound and stood up, but with her arms at her side, like, you know, like she was ski jumping. The biggest laughs of the entire thing went to her. It was great. She did so well on it. We also had the parade of like 100 people. And so it's kind of funny, because I vaguely remember like the last minute of the film, we ended up having like a bunch of people in Viking helmets running across the stage. Somebody was carrying a helicopter and going, whoop, 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 whoop.
Yes.
That was great. Make a helicopter sound. She's like, yeah, I know what it is. And and then she goes with whoop, whoop, whoop. And we're like, what helicopter is that?
But it was kind of funny, because at this point, everything was getting mixed up. It was almost like the end of Muppets, where everything's going on.
Yes, it was. So
we had these fishermen in the background. They're tangled up in these fishing nets. I don't know if you guys saw that. Yeah. I've got some background scene going over there. We've got the Vikings running from the right. Sarah had just run over to stage left. The helicopter's coming from the left. It was just like everybody was coming together at once on this one little X in the middle of the stage. It was really funny. That was great.
Now, next we had Agent B's World Showcase Adventure, which is where it's kind of a scavenger hunt. Everyone forms teams and then tries to find the six of us in World Showcase. And we were all trying to outdo each other in terms of making it the most difficult possible for people to find us.
Without being on a boat.
Yeah, so we did this last year. Yeah. Actually, I was on a boat this year, too. I ended up riding around in Grand Fiesta.
Yeah.
But we did learn from last year. We all picked air condition
Yeah, nice. Last year was so hot. Yeah,
this year I made an ADR at Beer Garden and ate there. She was great. The only time anybody found me was when I was in the buffet line. People were like, "Oh,
no one could get past the security guard."
The German security, bouncer.
Nobody could get in. They wouldn't let them in
great.
To find
the first
you.
Hour, no one bothered me. I was able to eat my lunch, and then I get a text from Becky, Matt, you need to go outside.
The only time people found me is when I was getting off the ride and trying to get back in line. There's like a 1 minute thing where you're sort of in the plaza. And a couple of people found me there.
Go ahead, Annette.
I was going to say, if you need a spot to get away and not see anyone for a long time, the Art Museum in Morocco, there's two benches and the air conditioning with two outlets in there.
Oh,
and seriously, I was there for about an hour and nobody came in. Nobody, not even, day guest.
I think you had said Scopa. You were in the O Canada film, but you had to leave because you were so sick of seeing the film.
Actually, I went into the film once and then I decided, no, I'm just going to sit down near the podium. And the cast members kept on saying, are you going in? Are you going in? Are you going in? And I thought that sooner or later, I finally told them what was going on. And they said, would you like to read the script?
Yes.
And then there was a guest. Yes. This is the funny thing. There were four non-union people who were sitting behind the podium, and about three or four teams, had found me. They had gone all the way up there and found me. And after a while, the curiosity got them, and they said, just how many teams are looking for you? I said, I don't know. I said, why are they looking for you? I said, well, it's just, they like me. Whatever. It was just so, during the course of reunion, while we're doing things, it was funny to see the non-reunion people trying to figure out what the heck was going on with all these crazy people.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're taking pictures, right? Except if you had a couple of groups.
Yeah. One of the women, when I left the restaurant, I was outside. After like three or four groups found me, this one comes up to me and goes, are you famous or is this a scavenger hunt? I'm like, it's a scavenger hunt. They're like, okay, never mind then. Goodbye.
Yeah. Didn't even watch your photo, huh?
No, I'm not famous, so they didn't really care. But it was a fun event. Becky, where did you hide?
I was in the American Adventure, and I went back into the museum at first in that little area because I, too, found an outlet to charge the phone. And it was in air conditioning. And I thought, that's the perfect place. And then, of course, the Voices of Liberty came out and started singing. And I thought, oh, probably not a good idea to have a bunch of people running in and out. So waited till the last 20 minutes or so and relocated myself outside, right at that little seating area on the outside of American Adventure.
Nice.
And that's where all the teams came in and there were two that didn't finish. There were seven teams that made all five, that found all five, all six of us, and then one that found four. So we need to give them more time next time. It was like they had just run a marathon. Everybody was coming in breathing and
they'd
sweating.
They'd want to take a picture and they'd be all sweaty.
Sweaty, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Magical. But everybody was really happy, and they had war stories of trying to find everybody. And the biggest one was, and Matt was eating, and we couldn't get in to find him. So it was really fun.
Where were you? Everybody talked about where they were except for you.
I was in China with the Terracotta Warriors.
Smart.
Well,
I liked your picture. Your picture hints; those were great.
Well, and the hardest part was, I mean, I gave it away by my first clue, which was, I'm bigger than Lou Mangiello. So that kind of gave it away. Everybody went, I came right here first because I knew that was, great, smart.
Well, everybody wanted to know about my first clue, which came from Lynn and Laurel, and I couldn't figure it out myself once I get inside it. So
there's a plaque there.
What was that?
There's not a plaque in there. I was there for an hour by myself.
Oh,
there's no plaque.
there should be a plaque
standing
that says
on it.
Yeah, maybe the horse was standing on it, yeah.
It was a lot of fun. And then we had the Spaceship Earth meet, which was essentially the same thing as last year. We had that audio trick. In fact, the one we narrated last year, which was very good. And also, in fact, I think many of our listeners already know, Monday's episode was the blooper reel from that.
Oh, my gosh. The blooper reel. I was reliving that whole night. That was hysterical listening
to
it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
Lynn was getting madder and madder the later that night went.
He was so mad by the end of the recording.
I know. It was kind of funny because I listened to it last year, and then I didn't listen to it again until like the day before reunion this year. And it was kind of funny because it's a really funny script. But the thing in listening to the blooper reel that I realized was, Newell, how good the editing was on that, because
you really
tightened it down, and it's a better script because of it. I had some stuff in there that just wouldn't have worked. It's funny. It's funny. It's bloopers, but it's a better script because you edited it, so that came out really well.
Yeah, I had to, when I first did the run through, I cut all the lines that we had, and then I did a mock run through with an online video, and it didn't fit, so I had to cut some of the dialogue in order to get, you know, the scenes in sync with.
But you get the right dialogue because it's all, I mean, it's crisp the way it is. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
However, I got to say, I was rolling on the floor listening to us trying to speak together.
Your future.
And then we all tried to sing Tomorrow's Charlie, but I think by that time we realized that it was never going to be in sync, so it was just going to be like.
But that made it funny. If you listen to it, that's what made it funny, is that it wasn't in sync.
If we could ever get in the infrared cues for Spaceship Earth, and we could put it on a device.
Put the audio in the cars.
Oh, my God. That'd be great.
Just take over for a day.
Oh, my goodness. Too funny.
So really, you know, a really great event overall. Becky, what's your lasting memory from reunion? What do you think really sticks out?
Oh, wait. ESPN event.
Right. ESPN.
Yeah.
Yes,
well, wait a minute. We had Illuminations that night, too.
Illuminations.
Yeah. Yes.
With the new lasers, that was good, by the way. That was awesome.
And new
the
desserts.
Lasers.
The lasers are nice.
Laser Illuminations. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I got to ask, how do you guys feel about the narration?
Meh.
What narration?
Meh.
I'd rather have Cronkite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't move me at all.
I
kind of
missed him, too.
Yeah. The lasers were cool.
Well, they're not. It's supposedly it's going away for next year, right? It's not. It's not going to be Illuminations next year. But if I ever do it again, I'm bringing noise canceling headphones and my own audio track. I'll bring Walter. Yeah,
that's a great
that
idea.
Good, huh? Well,
I mean, it's just I want it to be done a certain way, you know, and I can make it a certain way if I want to, right? So. Yeah.
Hey, we changed Spaceship Earth. Who says we can't change Illuminations?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you could do it. It's
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It's doable, so.
Oh my gosh, that's an idea, isn't it? All right. Anyway, but of course, between the punched up pyro and the laser effects were meant to apparently distract us from all of that.
Yeah.
And for me, it worked because I really did enjoy the mixture of color and the whole show from that perspective. I do miss Walter though. But the menu was upgraded from our perspective, and we had a great crowd. We had a great crowd there, and everybody enjoyed it. And there were several people who'd never seen the Holiday Tack before. So once again, another great Illuminations party.
Yeah, and it was a great event, really. People, once again, no one really believes us when we say, you know, it's the way to see it. But boy, do they believe it after.
Yeah.
So how about going through Canada?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got to go backstage through Canada to ride Soarin'. Yeah, that was groovy.
Yeah, we wrote. It was funny because we walked backstage. Usually, we know by experience we're going to go either to Test Track or Soarin'. And we're going this year, and one of the people that are new, they're like, "Oh, where are we going?" I'm like, "Oh, I don't know." And then we start going towards Canada. I'm like, "Oh," and then they joke. They're like, "Oh, we're going to O'Canada." I'm like, "Yeah, you know it." And we get into the line for O'Canada. I'm like, "Oh, maybe we are going to see O'Canada."
Does she have Martin Short here? Is this what's going to happen? I mean, what, you know?
Yeah, for everyone's else's knowledge, Annette and I are the only ones that know really where we're going. We don't tell you guys what's going to happen.
I once we get to Canada, I had no idea what we were doing.
Ooh, I love it.
Yeah.
That was neat. That was a neat little twist.
Yeah, it was awesome. And the funny thing was, getting a picture in front of the Canada waterfalls was like one of the last bingo card squares that a lot of people needed. So it was like, selfie, 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 as they were walking past. It was kind of funny.
Speaking of bingo cards, we did see magic. I know we spoke about it earlier, but I witnessed a miracle, a Christmas miracle.
A Christmas miracle.
That was right, Thursday night.
Thursday night.
And I have it on
Thursday night.
And we had to tweet it because I still don't believe it. I was actually accused of photoshopping that.
Really? Well, I mean, yeah, I could believe that.
But Marinelli.
Yeah,
it's Autumn.
So we're at the Tambu Lounge, and we're all standing there, and Autumn Marinelli, who's a friend of all of us, she goes up, and I'm watching her. I'm like, she's going to get Matt to buy her this drink. And not only does he buy He could have bought a $4 Coca-Cola. No. He buys the Lapu Lapu, which is the drink in the full-size pineapple. So we were all
but
sitting there.
She worked him over for like 5 minutes. Like, oh, yeah. You know, oh, Matt, you're so funny.
She was twirling her hair. Going, oh, Matt, you're so smart.
Or it could have been Matt just trying to get his $14 worth of flirtation out of her. Could have been both of them playing each other for a few minutes, whatever.
But it was the funniest thing we ever saw. I mean, he could have bought her a $3 Coke, and instead he went.
You got to go big.
Yeah, it's true.
What was it finally that got you?
I'm a team player here.
You're a softie. Thank you for doing it.
You're a sucker for a smile. That's what you are.
If nothing else, for the ESPN event that was on Sunday, I will learn one thing. And one thing we need to start telling all of our people that ever attend a reunion: do not drop equipment on the floor.
Oh. My fault. It was my fault.
The look.
The mic that stopped the world.
I know. I know. Yeah. Good. So. You know, the problem was is I was in a hurry and I said drop the bass, but I think I was moving away from Jack when I said drop the bass, and then I think he heard drop the, you know, and just left it there. But totally my fault for not communicating.
And in that kind of music, that's what they do.
I realized that, but I didn't realize it when I was
he was
saying,
playing the part. He was playing the part.
Yeah, no.
And,
again,
and he was doing great. He totally was doing a really great job. Totally. Yeah.
And Len had his gold Amex, so if there was a problem, you know.
I told him. I was like, if the mic spoke, just send me a bill. But yeah, that was fun. But so anyway, so for the ESPN event, the idea was that we were going to recreate our draft show where we pick 7 attractions each, sort of like the NFL draft, and we build our classic theme park. And the idea was that if Matt, let's say, picks Space Mountain, then that means he gets to keep Space Mountain and nobody else could pick Space Mountain. But to make it more interesting, we did a couple of things. One was that Annette took my place in this show.
Yeah,
because,
not knowing. Yeah.
Not knowing, yes. Suckers. But the other thing was we had created, for most of the attractions that you would pick, we created challenge questions or challenge tasks. And you had to complete the challenge successfully in order to keep the attraction. And I'll give you an example of one. So for Annette, which was one of the first ones, I think you guys picked Seven Dwarfs Mine Train first.
Yes,
that was like so the
and
the
I
challenge
knew that, we were doing something. I was like, "Are you sure you want to do this? Because you know we're doing something."
So it was find five more dwarfs from the audience and sing one verse of "Hi Ho." Bonus points for finding a Snow White. And that was hysterical because you
Jack
had to get
picks the tallest people in the room as dwarfs.
I know the tallest dwarfs. Yeah, it was kind of funny. For Soren, which was Matt, one of Matt's, it was pretend to retain tanda and a tandem hang glider flying over Wichita, Kansas. Point out all the things you
that
see.
Was so funny.
Apparently, there's a lot of corn, right?
Yeah, a lot of corn, a lot of farms. Which is the thing. There's corn. There's farm. Oh, look, more farms.
Then Scopa had one for Pirates of the Caribbean, where we said, the newest addition to Pirates is a mermaid effect in the cave scene. So one of you should pretend to be a mermaid swimming up to a pirate in a boat and try to get the pirate's attention, but you can't speak. You have to sing. And the pirate should not immediately notice the mermaid, causing the mermaid to try harder and harder. So it ended up being Scopa flopping around on the floor like he's a fish on the deck of a ship, which is hysterical. We did, and then Newell, did you have Kilimanjaro Safaris?
Yes, he did. That was the best.
That was funny. So this one, this challenge question was, it's your first day as a Safaris driver, and you forgot the names of all the animals. Go through the ride and make up names and characteristics as you go along. Your partner should be a confused tourist taking photos. And you had, was it Dennis?
Dennis, I had Dennis, yeah.
Yeah. You guys did great on this one. I thought it was hysterical.
He was brilliant at that. He was pulling, Mary, what was that Dennis was pulling?
Heffalumps, woozles, something like that. But like some of the animals had wings, but you couldn't see them, and you were taking pictures.
Fly,
and,
even though they had wings. And, oh my God.
That was great.
It's from Jabberwocky. Yeah, so that he was Jabberwocky. Great. Yeah, I had no idea. I thought he made those up. It was great.
Yeah. Annette had Under the Sea, where it was you've lost your voice just like Ariel. You need to convince your partner, Prince Eric, to love you. In the words of Ursula, you have your looks, your pretty face, and don't underestimate the importance of
body
language. Yeah, that was great. So
well, he
funny.
Called me a redhead, which I just, sorry.
Yeah.
That was great.
I don't know. I got to say, though, if Jack's listening, I'm sorry that the butter knife.
So what you guys picked Haunted Mansion, and yeah. And so the
knowing.
Oh yeah, because all the headliner stuff were. So the challenge for the Haunted Mansion was that the attic scene shows the bride before and after her wedding to various husbands. Your job is to reenact the wedding nights of one of these ill-fated couples, showing what happens to the husband who doesn't know what's going on until it's too late. You have 20 seconds to do it. Yeah. So
he leaned forward. He should not have leaned forward because the knife was
coming. Oh, did you cut him?
I didn't cut him, but the knife got him in the neck, yes.
Wow.
Oh, it's... So maybe it was blood loss that caused him to drop the weight. The other funny one that got a lot of laughs from Newell's team was reenact the opening scene of Lion King where Simba's presented a prize.
Oh, my God. That was
I'm holding up the lyrics. Dennis is singing The Circle of Life, and Newell is acting like Simba. the lion.
That was great. So funny.
Yeah, that was
good. If you've never been to reunion right now, you're listening to this thinking, oh, they kind of go a little nuts.
Again, we could just have food, right? But what's the fun of that? We could do a show, but we involved the audience. Don't forget that we had we each had a partner, but we started off with 10 people and did a little quiz show before the beginning to get down to 4 people, and that was fun too. So everyone gets involved, everyone participates in something. Everyone laughs. I think it's hysterical. It's a lot of fun.
It's great. It's
yeah.
Great.
It was a great event this year. So tip of the hat to everybody involved.
Yay. Chocolate bars all around.
That's right.
Oh, yum. Good.
Very good. And, of course, today's episode of WDW Today has been sponsored by All Star Vacation Homes. And, you know, in fact, if you're looking to stay at an All Star Vacation Home, my good friends here, Becky and Ned and all the great agents at MEI and Mouse Travel can help you book that. It's a great place to stay on your Walt Disney World vacation, and they're going to give you so much space for not so much money. It's a really great deal. You got to check them out right now. Go to allstarvacationhomes.com. For Len Testa, Mike Scopa, Mike Newell, the fabulous Leonard Owens, and Becky Macon, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next show.
Awesome song.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.